It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, February 28th, 2022. Well, I had a request from a listener who loves to hear about our ships on the river, so I thought I'd talk about those today. We have three inbound ships today. They are widely separated in terms of when we'll see them on the river, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We have one ship in our Astoria anchorage. So all of those ships that have been waiting lately in our anchorage, it's been pretty full. Have gone upriver, most of them, to pick up their wheat. So all but one, actually. So they were able to take advantage of our stretch of nice weather. Sometimes rainy weather, like what we're having right now, can hamper the loading of wheat because it can absorb moisture and swell. All kinds of terrible things can happen that can actually be quite dangerous. So it's nice to see that the anchorage has cleared out and all those ships are able to go on their way. We also have eight outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. In our marine weather forecast, the Columbia River Bar as of yesterday evening was on yellow status because of the weather. That means some ships could be asked to wait outside the river in the ocean, waiting to come in until conditions settle down, or they may wait in port to depart. We have a strong frontal system that is bringing gale force winds to our coastal waters through tonight. Additional weaker systems will impact our waters beyond today, through at least midweek, but the winds will not be as strong as they are with those systems later in the week as they are now. We have a gale warning in effect through this evening. A gale on the Beaufort wind scale means force 8 out of 12, and 12 is hurricane conditions. Winds 34 to 40 knots, waves up to 25 feet, and the edges of the waves begin to break into spindrift, one of my favorite words, and that means the tops of the waves blow off in foam that blows in streaks. So quite a sight at sea, I would imagine. In our local marine weather forecast today, we have south winds, 25 to 35 knots, gusting to 45, combined seas 18 feet, with the dominant period of 14 seconds apart, and rain is in the forecast. And today we'll hear a story of a shipwreck at the mouth of the Columbia River in 1933 and what it tells us about the river then and now. But first, to look at our Columbia River ship schedule, we have the Maipo River. She will pass Astoria inbound, arriving from Seattle at about 9:30 a.m. Probably see her in the Longview anchorage about around 1 p.m., and she'll be going to the port of Longview to load petcoke. The Saga Explorer is arriving from Los Angeles, headed for the Vancouver-Washington anchorage. She could be carrying wind energy parts. We may see her pass Astoria around 2:30 p.m., and arrive in Vancouver at about 8:30 p.m. The Cultus Cove is arriving from Japan, headed for Portland, petroleum tanker. She's carrying refined petroleum, passing Astoria around 10 p.m., arriving in Portland around 4 a.m. on Tuesday. And in our Astoria anchorage, our one ship, the Ocean Innovation, is awaiting orders, but ultimately she will go upriver to pick up potash at the Port of Portland. In our outbounders, we have the Daria Padma, leaving Vancouver with wheat on board at about 2 a.m., so she could pass Astoria outbound at about 8 a.m. today, probably did already go by. The Cornelia M, leaving Kalama carrying wheat at about 3 a.m., also probably did pass Astoria around 8 a.m. The Tsukuba Galaxy, leaving Vancouver, she's a petroleum tanker, leaving around 3 a.m. and passing Astoria outbound around 9 a.m. The World Virtue, leaving Portland carrying wheat at about 4 a.m., could pass Astoria outbound around 10 a.m. And the Ken Khan, leaving Portland carrying potash, leaving around 4 p.m., that would put her past Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. this evening. The African Raven, leaving Longview with logs on board around 6:30 p.m., could pass Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. And the Saga Horizon, leaving Vancouver, she may have come in with wind energy parts on board, leaving around midnight. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Well, a great local story appeared on Facebook yesterday, posted in a local group that I just love. It's called the Long Beach Peninsula Friends of Facebook. One reason this group is so interesting is that the group's founder and admin, Frank Lane, posts the most interesting historical bits about local history, much of it maritime things relating to our waters. I said this before on other ship reports, but if you're interested in that sort of thing and are on Facebook, I highly recommend that you join that group. Great photos, too. Yesterday, Frank posted this story about a shipwreck at the mouth of the Columbia in 1933. He's given me permission to share that story here. When I read it, I thought, what an interesting story of, pardon me, but clueless adventuring, but also what a great opportunity to talk about the river at that time, which was even more treacherous than it is now. This story has a bit of a miraculous ending as well, because some folks involved were very lucky. So let me read you this. On February 27, 1933, the 93-ton American motor schooner Peskowa, formerly a Canadian rum runner in the days of Prohibition, had been sold to a young fellow who considered himself an adventurer. He managed to interest a group of 10 young men in what he claimed would be a great whaling expedition. They installed a bulky engine from a Maxwell automobile on her deck, and a makeshift belt ran to her propeller for power. I just want to stop here and say that I can hardly express my chagrin at what a really terrible idea that was. But to continue, she headed down the Columbia in the middle of the river channel towards the Pacific Ocean, her crew of amateurs having a great time. Off of buoy number 10, which is at the mouth of the river, the Maxwell engine sputtered out, and a foreboding sou'wester began to blow. The ebb tide shoved the Peskowa against the north jetty, we call that Peacock Spit now, and an attempt was made to put a lifeboat over the side. The lifeboat was knocked from the davits, and the skipper, Captain Victor Riley of Oregon City, was crushed to death against the housing. His body was later found in Dead Man's Hollow, near Beard's Hollow. Meanwhile, the ebb tide swept along the boulders of the jetty with incredible force, reducing the doomed ship to splinters. The largest piece of wreckage found by beachcombers was the ship's wheel. The surviving crew members managed to clamber up onto the jetty rocks, their escape being considered quite remarkable, given the powerful ebb tide. So what an interesting story about an ill-fated journey. I think they were sort of lucky that they got into trouble so soon on their journey, or perhaps all of them would have perished. Now here are a few details that came to mind for me when I read this story. First, they seem to have been surprised by the change in weather. In 1933, we didn't have all the amazing weather resources and apps and things that we have now, and the VHF marine radio was also not as widely available. So it would have been unlikely that anyone could call the Coast Guard the way we think of it today. Another thing working against them was the turbulence of the river. As dangerous as the Columbia is now, and we know the river is formidable, it was worse at the time of this incident, because there were not yet any dams in place on the river to control the huge force of the water barreling downstream from Canada. The Bonneville Dam was the first dam on the Columbia River. It was completed under the Roosevelt administration in 1937. Now there are more than 60 dams on the Columbia, and the cumulative effect is that the river flows much less wildly than it did then. Ebb currents are a powerful force of nature now, but in 1933 on the Columbia, they were even more fierce. So the story of the crew's survival is even more amazing in that context. As for the captain, his demise brings up a sort of ghoulish fact, but a fact nonetheless, that when water exits the mouth of the Columbia, as it does in an ebb or falling tide, local currents carry the water northward, which is why his body was found near Beard's Hollow, near Ilwaco. Many thanks again to Frank Lane and his Long Beach Peninsula Friends of Facebook page for another great story about local history. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.